Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos on Daf Lamed. We will begin on the first line with the third last word, Idach D'Amar Rav. In yesterday's sugya, at the bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis, we learned Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tarti Mili Amar Rav Besvarim V'Tanya Tiyufta, that there were two halachas which Rav learned concerning Sifrei Torah. And on these two halachas, on both of them, there was a kasha from a brisa. The first halacha we did in yesterday's shiur. And now the Gemara begins. Idach, the second halacha, on which there's a steer from the brisa, is the following. Idach, d'amar Rav, ha-kosev sefer Torah. If somebody's writing a sefer Torah, bo ligmor, and he's coming to the end of the sefer Torah, la'enei kol Yisrael, goymer, he completes a sefer Torah, va'filu be'emtza daf. Even if he's in the middle of the Amud, that's where the La'enei Kol Yisrael ends, he's allowed to end there, which means that he doesn't have to make any kind of change, any shinui, to make the letters bigger so that they reach the bottom of the Amud. He stays in the middle of the Amud. Meisvei, here comes the question from the Braisa. HaKosev Sefer Torah. Somebody's writing a Sefer Torah. Bo loy ligmor, he's coming to the end. Loy yigmor be'emtza daf. He should not end off in the middle of the daf. Kederach shegomer b'chumashim, as he completes chumashim. Now the word chumashim can either refer to other svarim of the chamishe chumshe Torah, Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikram, Bamidbar, or Chumashim could refer to other Svarim that were not written with Kedusha Sefer Torah. In those days, in the time of Chazal, all their Svarim were written on scrolls. They didn't have Kedusha Sefer Torah. So if a person finished that particular Sefer and it ended off in the middle of a Daf, so be it. So the halacha is that when he's Kaiser, Kosev is Sefer Torah, he should not end in the middle of the daf. Ella mekatzer v'hoylech at sof daf. He shortens it and ends off at the end of the daf. And Rashi says, kazel, like the picture that we have here, he makes the words less and less cheshbening out, that it should end off at the end of the daf. Or others say that he makes the letters bigger so that it comes out that La'enei Kol Yisrael will end off at the end of the daf. So we have a kasha from the Braisa on what Rav said. Rav said that you could be going Rafal B'Emtza daf, and here we see you have to go B'dafka to the end of the daf. The Gemara answers, Ki Kamar Rav B'chumashin. What Rav was saying, that you can end off in the middle of the daf, he wasn't speaking about a Sefer Torah, he was speaking about Chumashim. And Rashi says that the Gemara's Havamina was Kosal Kedatach Bishar Chumashim She'en Asin Kedusha Sefer Torah. They were speaking about, in the Gemara, other Chumashim, not Bereishis Shmois Vayikra Bamidbar, but rather regular scrolls that had no Kedusha Sefer Torah. Rashi concludes, Aval Asuyin Heim Begilyon Kesefer Torah. They're written on parchment. They're written on scrolls like a Sefer Torah. So there, that's when Rav said that you can end off in the middle of the daf. But Eina Chanami, Le'eni Kol Yisrael, that you would have to end off at the end of the Amud. So the Gemara asks on this, what Sefer Torah Kamar? How could you say Rav is speaking about plain chumash and plain scrolls? Rav says, Beferish, HaKosev Sefer Torah. So the Gemara answers, Bechumash and Shel Sefer Torah. Eina Chanami, we're not speaking about regular scrolls. We're speaking about the chumashim of the Sefer Torah, as Rashi says, Bereishis Shmois Vayikra Bamidbar, but we're not speaking about La'enei Kol Yisrael at the end of the entire Sefer Torah. The end of the entire Sefer Torah, Rav holds that you have to go to the end of the Amud. La'enei Kol Yisrael has to wind up the last line on the Amud. And Rav was speaking about the other Svarim in the Sefer Torah. There, they don't have to wind up at the end. They could wind up in the middle. And in fact, the Tosfos Bava Basra of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in the name of the Yerushalmi Megillah, tells us that other chumashim of a Sefer Torah, bedafka, should end off not at the end of the Amud, but in the middle of the Amud, so that the next Sefer could begin on that very same Amud that the previous Sefer ended. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Eini, how could you give such a teretz? That Rav is speaking about the Chumashim of a Sefer Torah. V'Amar Rav Yishuv Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav. So here it's in the name of Rav. La'enei kol Yisrael be'em tzadaf. That la'enei kol Yisrael is be'em tzadaf. So here we can't say it's referring to the other Chumashim in the Sefer Torah. Here Rav says beferish that he's talking about la'enei kol Yisrael, which is at the end of the Sefer Torah. And yet he says that the halacha is be'em tzadaf. Ida Brisa says that it has to be at the end of the daf. The Gemara answers, Hahi be'emtza shita itmar. Even though he used the lashon be'emtza daf, he didn't mean actually that you could end off in the middle of the daf, in the middle of the amud. You have to go to the last line. But it means at the last line, you don't have to go to the end all the way to the left-hand corner at the bottom of the amud. If it winds up in the middle of the line, that's sufficient. But it has to come to the last line on the amud. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan said, Af be'emtza shita, that when we just gave a teretz that Rav is speaking about be'emtza shita, what we really mean is even emtza shita. As Rashi explains, U be'emtza daf. The Rabbanan shita is that Rav is makel, both, this is the way Rashi learns the machloikis, which we're going to have here between Rabbanan and Ravashi. The Rabbanan hold that not only the emtza daf, but af even be'emtza shita. And as the Meforshim explain, the Rabbanan hold that Rav argues on the Brisa. The Rabbanan hold that we don't have to change Rav's words when he said at the top of the Amud, HaKais of Sefer Torah, Ubal Ligmar Goymer Rafilu be'emtza daf, that he was speaking about the Chumashim of the Sefer Torah, Breish Shmois, Vayikra Bamidbar, as we learned before. No, he means literally the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is a filo be'emtza daf. I to Brisa, Rav Tanu Apolik. Rav has a loch of a tan, and he can argue on the Brisa. It's not a kasher from the Brisa. So the Rabbanan hold in Rav that Rav was makel both concerning emtza daf is mutter by Leinei Kol Yisrael and be'emtza shita is mutter. Both are mutter. Ravashi Yom Ravashi disagrees, and Ravashi says, according to Rashi's pshat, be'emtza shita dafka, when is there flexibility that you don't have to go to the end, you don't have to go to the end of the line. You could even do the middle of the line. But there is no flexibility by Leinei Kol Yisrael to finish off in the middle of the Amud. There, Rav holds, you have to go to the end of the Amud. I, Rav, said before, HaKais Sefer Torah is Goyim Rav Filo be'emtza daf. There, he was speaking about, as we said before, Chumashin Shabba Sefer Torah. Rav Ashi doesn't agree that we're going to give a teretz here to Rav Tanu Uhu Polik. We're going to try to be Miyashiv Rav with the Brisa. So according to Rashi, it comes out that we have a machloikis, the Rabbanan and Rav Ashi, and the Gemara concludes, V'hilchase be'emtza shita dafke. The Allah is like Rav Ashi, that be'emtza shita is dafke. So according to Rashi, this means that the Rabbanan wanted to be makel both be'emtza daf and be'emtza shita. And Rav Ashi says, no, when can you be flexible? You can only be flexible not to end off at the end of the line, of the last line on the Amud. The last line of the Amud, there's no flexibility. You must reach the last line of the Amud. Where is there flexibility? You don't have to go to the end of the line, even in the middle. However, others learn differently. Others learn that there is no machlokes Rabbanan Rav Ashi about getting to the end of the last line. Of course, you must reach to the end of the Amud. Rav agrees to that according to both the Rabbanan and Rav Ashi. What do the Rabbanan mean, af be'emtza shita? Not like Rashi, that not only is emtza daf mutter, but even emtza shita, but rather, af be'emtza shita means you have flexibility. You have to get to the last line, but you don't have to get all the way to the bottom left-hand corner of the Amud. You can end off in the middle of the line. That's the af. The af, you can do it both ways. You can go to the end of the line, or you can go to the middle of the line. Rav Ashi says no. Rav Ashi says you don't have a choice in the matter. Be'em tshashita dafke. You must end la'enei kol Yisrael in the middle of the line. There's a kapeda to end off in the middle of the line. So it comes out a big machloikis here between Rashi and the Yesh Meforshim. According to Rashi, even v'hilchase be'emtza shita dafka means that you go to the last line, And the only place you have flexibility is in the last line, at the end of the line, or in the middle of the line. But there's no kpeda, according to Rashi, Pshat, and Rav Ashi, that yet you must end Leinei Kol Yisrael in the middle of the line. However, according to the other Meforshim who disagree with Rashi, it comes out that Rav Ashi, who we paskin like, holds Hilchase Be'emtze Shita Dafka, you have to end off on the last line, and Bedafka in the middle of the last line. And so paskins the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reishain Bey Sif Dalid, paskins in the Yoredeya, paskins that you must end Leinei Kol Yisrael in the middle of the line. And there's a big machlokes apoisk. What happens if you don't end off in the middle of the line? You end off at the end of the line, whether the Sefer Torah is b'diavad kosher or in fact it's pasul. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Yeshua bar Abba Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav Shmoyne Psukim Sheba Torah, the last eight psukim of the Torah, beginning with Vayama Shem Moshe Ever Hashem Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. That those last eight psukim, yachid, kaira, oysam, b'beis haknesses. A yachid can read them in the beis haknesses. We have here three pshatim in the Rishonim, what it means that a yachid can read them. Rashi shita is that we know that every three psukim you can make hafsaka. There are many shuls which practice that, and they make many, many hoysafas in Kriyas HaTorah. However, Rav is saying that the last eight psukim of the Torah are different than the rest of the Torah, as we'll soon see in the Gemara why they're different. And because they are different, you're not allowed to make a hefsek in the middle of the last eight psukim. One person must read all of them. As Tosfos speaks out, you can't have one person taking four psukim, the other person taking four psukim, or one person taking five psukim and the other three psukim. No, all eight psukim have to be read by one. No hefsek. Tosfos brings down in the second Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shmoyne Psukim. He brings down from Rav Meshulam that Rav Meshulam said the pshat is that the rest of the Torah you can have a Bal Koyrei help you to do the Kriyas HaTorah. However, in these last eight Psukim, a Bal Koyrei cannot help you. The Yachid, the one who's called up to the Torah, who gets the Aliyah, he has to read it by himself. Rabbeinu Tam does not like this pshat, because Rabbeinu Tam says the whole institution of having a Bal Koyrei read for someone was only done after the Chasimus HaTalmud. In the time of Chazal, people always read by themselves. So what are we saying the last eight psukim? A yochid has to read and not be helped by a Bal Koyrei. The rest of the Torah, the Bal Koyrei didn't help either. Every person read himself. So therefore, Tosfos agrees with Rashi's pshat, and Tosfos explains why, in fact, today do we have a takana that a Bal Koyrei reads for the Ola, because there are people who don't know how to lane in the Torah, and Kedei Shaloi Levaish, in order that he shouldn't become ashamed, embarrassed by not being able to read. Therefore, we have a Bal Koyrei similar to Kriya of Bikurim, where everybody used to read together, not to be Levaish, the person who didn't know by himself to read the Parshas Bikurim. So says the Gemara. These are the two pshatim of Rashi and the Rav Meshulam, and there's a third pshat of the Rambam that yachid means the last day psukim. You don't need to read in a tzibur of 10. In a minyan, even beyichidus, the last day psukim could be read. Says the Gemara. Come on, the like Rav Shimon. This halacha is not like Rav Shimon. This sanya, because we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says vayomas shom Moshe ever Hashem, that Moshe was nifter. The Gemara asks, "Efshir Moshe chai v'kosta vayomesh Moshe? Is it possible that Moshe was still alive and yet he himself wrote about himself that Moshe died?" And really, the Masoret Hashas tells us that in Bava Basra the Girsa is "Efshir Moshe meis v'kosta vayomesh Moshe." And really, it's two sides of the same coin. What the Gemara is asking is "Memanev shach." When was this written? Was it written after Moshe was nifter? When after he died, he wrote that he died? That can't be. Elamai, he wrote it when he was still alive. If he wrote it when he was still alive, it looks like a sheker. He's still alive, and he's writing that Moshe died. Ela, adkan kos of Moshe. Till Vayomesh Moshe, Moshe himself wrote. Mikan ve'elech, from that point on, the last day psukim of the Torah, Kasav Yeshua ben Nun, that was written by Yeshua ben Nun. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru, and some say Rabbi Nechemia, that this is the shita of Rabbi Nechemia. Amar loy Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon disagrees. And Rav Shimon says, Efshir Sefer Torah chaser ois achas. Is it possible for the Sefer Torah to be missing? Even one letter, uksiv, and we find at the end of Devarim, it says, Moshe told the Levim, Lakoyach HaSefer HaTorah Zeh, take this Torah, Vesamta Maisoi, and put it, and the pasuk continues, Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem Alekeichem, V'hoyasham B'cha La'ed. So the Gemara is asking, is it possible that the Torah wasn't complete? It was missing the eight psukim that Yeshua wrote, and Moshe refers to it as Sefer Torah? It's not a Sefer Torah. Ella Ad Kan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, until the last eight psukim, says Reb Shimon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out what Moshe should write in the Torah, Moshe Kaisav Oimer, or as we have in the, I believe it's the sheet that says that the girsa is, Umayshe Oimer V'Kaisev. Moshe said it, and then he wrote it. Mikan Ve'Elech. In other words, Moshe, like a cipher is supposed to do, a cipher is supposed to repeat the words of the Torah before he writes it. The Magen Avraham says that's only, like here in this case, where Hashem was reading it to Moshe. If Reuven is reading it for Shimon, the cipher, so Shimon, before he writes it down, should first say the word and then write it down. However, the Magen Avraham sheet is that if he's copying it from another Sefer Torah, then he doesn't have to say it. Then this is a machloikis achroinim in this case. But be that as it may, Rab Shimon is saying that normally Hashem would read it, Moshe would repeat it, and then he would write it down. But Mekan Ve'elech, from these eight psukim and further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, but Moshe Kaisev Bedema, Moshe read it with tears. Rashi learns, there's three pshatim here, what Bedema means. Rashi's pshat is, Bedema, he, because of his great tsar, that he was repeating that he is not going to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, he's going to die, he wrote it with tears. And we'll get to the other two pshatim in a moment. And now we're going to bring a raya that when there was tsar, the way Rashi learns the sugi here, we find another scribe who did not say the words before he wrote them down because of the tsar. K'mar shenemar lahalon, as we find in Yirmiyahu, Vayarmelem Baruch, Baruch said to them, Mipiv Yikare, Eli, as called Varmeela, Yirmiyahu would recite the words of the kinnis concerning the churban, to me, v'ani kaisev al sefer b'dvar, I would write it down with ink on the sefer, but I didn't verbalize it because of the tsar of the topic of the kinnis that I was writing down. I couldn't come to verbalize it. So that's how Rashi learns that Moshe also, because of the tsar, he wasn't able to verbalize it. The Marsha in Bava Basra, Daf Tezvav, Amid Alev says a beautiful pshat over here to explain what it means bedema. And really, we should first speak out what Tosfos goes into here, which the Marsha tells us is really a Mordechai, that the Mordechai says there's a fundamental machloikis here in the Gemara, because the Gemara here is dealing with the issue of it looked like a sheker, that Moshe said he died even though he was still alive. So the answer that Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemia gave to this question was that Moshe wrote up till the last day psukim, and from there on, Yeshua wrote it. What about the question of Reb Shimon? If there's words missing in the Torah, how could Moshe refer to it as Sefer HaTorah Zeh? It's not a complete Sefer. On that, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia will respond that it's written Al Shem Ha'asid, the Kosev Al Ha'asid, Lashon HaTosfos. Since Yeshua was going to complete it, so Moshe already referred to it as a complete Sefer Torah, even though he didn't himself, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, he didn't write the last day psukim, and it was Rabbi Yeshua, it was Yeshua who completed the last day psukim. Still, Moshe could refer to it as Sefer Torah Zeh. What about the sheker of Moshe writing that he died? The end is no sheker because Yeshua wrote that Moshe died. This is the approach of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. Rav Shimon holds that he doesn't agree with this concept of Al Shem, the Kosev Al Ha'asid. it must be that Moshe himself wrote it. You have a question if Moshe wrote it. It looks like a sheker because he's still alive. How could he write that Moshe died? On that, the Marsha says, number one, he didn't verbalize it. This was different than the rest of the Torah where Moshe repeated what Hashem said and then he wrote it down. So Moshe didn't verbalize it. What about the writing itself? Says the Marsha, bedema doesn't mean that Moshe wrote it with ink while he was crying because of the tsar, but rather Moshe wrote it with his tears. So it wasn't really a permanent ksiv. It was a reshima. It was a marking on the Sefer Torah, the last 8 psukim. So he didn't verbalize the sheker. He didn't really write the sheker. Therefore, it doesn't look like a sheker. So these are the two mahalchim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and they both have a teretz on the kasha of it looks like a sheker. And based on this pshat, the machloikis here is, do we say that Moshe would write something, al shema asid? Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, be the Sefer Torah is called after Yeshua was going to complete it in the future. And Rabbi Shimon does not agree with this. Now, Tosfos brings down that on Divya Maskel Mikanve Elach Kosev Yeshua, he brings down Rav Sar Sholem Goyin, who says that why do we say Tzidkos Chatzadik by Mincha? Because Moshe was Nifter on Shabbos at Mincha time, and that's why we say Tzidik HaDin, Tzidkos Chatzadik. And that's also the reason for some have the minig that they don't learn during Shalashudas time, because we have a halacha, Chacham Shemes, called Batu Midrasha Shabir Batalin. So that explains why we don't learn during Shalashudas and why we say Tzedek HaDin. So Tosfos grapples with the issue, how could Moshe, if it was Shabbos, say the following words? He says, that Ben May of Esrim Shana Anoichi Hayoyim, and we darshan Hayoyim Malu Yemei Shnoisai, that 120 years ago I was born on this day, Zion Adar, and now Zion Adar came out on Shabbos. But how could Moshe write that? It was Shabbos; he was not allowed to write. The answer is he wrote it Erev Shabbos. So Tosfos says he's writing something in the future. So Tosfos says that's not a problem on the Sar Shalom Goyin's Pshat, because as we just explained the Gemara, and this is how the Marsha explains Tosfos over here, that's Gevurah Machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds Hashem Asid, because Yeshua was going to write the last 8 psukim. So this also, Moshe wrote Hashem Asid, that I'm Hayoyim, meaning tomorrow I'm going to be on Shabbos, 120 years old exactly, even though he wrote it on Erev Shabbos. Whereas Reb Shimon doesn't hold of the concept that Moshe would write something, al shema asid. That's why it couldn't be Yeshua wrote the last day psukim. And that's why over here it would be difficult. How could Moshe write it? But since the Sar Shalom Goyin could go, we hold like Reb Yehuda that it was al shema asid. So Mimela, that's not difficult. However, what is difficult, Tosfos says, I bring a raya from the Seder Oilam. Tosfos has a whole cheshbon that we find that Zion Adar that year, when Moshe was Nifter, was on Erev Shabbos. Oy bazoi, how could we say Tzidik HaDin on Shabbos? Because Moshe died on Shabbos. He died Erev Shabbos. We say that we don't learn Shal Shudas because Moshe died Mincha on Shabbos. He died Erev Shabbos. On this, the Sfasemis wants to answer that you're right. It was Erev Shabbos that he died. And still we can be Mekayim what Rav Sar Shalom Goyin said. Because when is the Iker Tsar of the loss of the Gadol? That's when the Kvura took place. And the Kvura took place on Shabbos. You can't bury a Nifter on Shabbos, but this was Al Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do it even on Shabbos. So, and at that time, when Moshe was buried on Shabbos, even though he died Erev Shabbos, that's when Tzidik HaDin is said, and that's when we have the Bittul Beis HaMedrash because of Chacham Shemes. There is a final, very interesting pshat in Bedema given by the Baal Shem Tov. And Bekitzer, the thought of the Baal Shem Tov is that we have a concept of Tziruf Oisius. The Gemara tells us that Betzalel was able to be Mitzar for all the Oisius, Sheboi Nivru, Shemaim Vo'aretz. So the Baal Shem Tov wants us to suggest that these last 8 psukim, and perhaps other parts of the Torah also, the Chet of the Meraglim, the Chet of Koirach, it wasn't the pshat that in the Sefer Torah of Moshe, it was already written out the whole story of Koirach, the whole story of the Meraglim, what they did wrong, the Oynish that they received. this would be perhaps questions of Yediyah and Bechira. It says in the Torah that it has to happen. How could they have a Bechira that they shouldn't do the Avera if it says that they're going to do the Avera and get the Einish? So rather the Pshat is that there were letters that Moshe wrote. Moshe wrote the last eight psukim also. But he wrote it bedema, not tears. The word dem is dimua, like if you have truma that falls into chulin, and now it's mixed up together. So the Moshe wrote the letters, but it would depend if Moshe would be zoicha to go into Eretz Yisrael, if he wouldn't have died in Chutz Laretz, then the last eight psukim, the letters would be mitzaref into a different lashon. The letters were there. Moshe wrote those letters, but he wrote them bedema. He wrote them mixed up, meaning it would depend on what the circumstances were. If Moshe, in fact, was Nifter, then the letters would form the message of the last eight psukim that Moshe was Nifter. If Kairach would do the Avera, then the psukim would reflect that. If the Meraglim would do the Avera, the letters would be mitzarif together to reflect that. The Chet HaEgel, the same thing. So this is the concept of certain areas of the Torah were written depending on what the circumstances and the events would transpire, then those letters would be mitzaref to reflect the reality of what actually took place. So learns the Baal Shem Tov. Continues the Gemara, Lema Deloi Kerab Shimon. So the Gemara is saying this halacha that we learned before, that a yachid can read the last eight psukim, the various pshatim that we said, maybe that's going not like Reb Shimon. Why? Because according to Bisham, according to Reb Yehuda Reb Nechemia, the last eight psukim are different than the rest of the Torah, because the last eight psukim were said by Yeshua. So to reflect that they're different than the rest of the Torah said by Moshe, they're all read, let's say, Rashi's pshat together, one person without a hefsek. However, according to Reb Shimon, Moshe also wrote the last eight psukim. So maybe it's going not like Reb Shimon. Why can't we divide up the last eight psukim to different kriyas as well? A filatim Reb Shimon. No, it could be going like Reb Shimon. Hoyel v'shtani yishtani. You admit that according to Reb Shimon, there are differences with the last eight psukim. Good. It wasn't Yeshua wrote it. Moshe wrote it. But how did Moshe write it? He didn't speak out the word before as he usually did with the rest of the Torah. He wrote it bedema, like the Marsha says, with tears, not with ink. So there were differences. If there were differences, that's enough to tell us that a yachid kairei oisan. Continues the Gemara. V'am Rabbi Shubar, Abam Rabbi Gilom Rav. Halikeiach Sefer Torah Menashuk. Someone who instead of writing his own Sefer Torah, it is a mitzvah. V'atem kisru lechem es hashira zois. That you should write a Sefer Torah. Or you should hire a sofer to write a Sefer Torah as your shliach. But what happens? You didn't do that. There was a Sefer Torah available for sale, and you paid for it. If you do that, kechaitiv mitzvah neshuk, it's like you're grabbing a mitzvah from the marketplace. Rashi says, you get a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah and a mufcher. The mitzvah and a mufcher is for you to write a Sefer Torah. There, however, the Ramon Yeradeh Simon Reishayin Sifkot and Aleph Paskins, that if you did such a thing, you're not yaitz to the mitzvah of ksivah Sefer Torah at all. And so holds the Rambam. The Beis Halevi is Masber. What's the Machloikas here, whether you do have a mitzvah or not? The Machloikas is, what's the mitzvah of Ksivah Sefer Torah? Is the mitzvah having a Sefer Torah or actually writing it? If the mitzvah is having and the writing is just a Hechatimtza, how do you get to having it? So if I bought it, so I have it a different way, even if I didn't write it, even if I didn't hire a cipher. However, if you hold that the mitzvah is the actual Ksivah, then obviously if he bought it, he would not be Mekayim that mitzvah of Ksivah Sefer Torah. There's a famous Rush here in the Sugya, where the Rush tells us that Bizman Azed, there's a mitzvah to publish or to buy Svarim, Chumashim, Mishnayis, Gemaras, Shas and Tshuva Svarim, because in the olden days, they used to learn from Sifrei Torah. We don't learn from Sifrei Torah anymore. We learn from Svarim. So today, there's a mitzvah of purchasing Svarim, and through that, the person is Mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Exactly what did the Rush mean? According to the Beis Yosef, of course, there's a mitzvah of Ksivah Sefer Torah, but in addition, today, since we learn from all other swarms, there's a mitzvah to purchase other swarms as well. However, other Achorayim disagree, and they say no, that according to the Rush, when we used to learn from a Sefer Torah, that was the mitzvah. But today, when we don't learn from a Sefer Torah, then the mitzvah has changed, that today the mitzvah is to purchase those svarim which will enable us to learn Torah Kedaisha, and that is by purchasing svarim. So today the mitzvah has changed, whereas according to Beis Yosef, the mitzvah has gotten larger, but it hasn't changed. Kosvoi continues the Gemara, if somebody actually writes a Sefer Torah, Malalova Kosvoi, Kilu Kibbutz Mar Sinai, the Torah considers it as if he got it from Mar Sinai. The Nemuki Yosef says a very beautiful pshat, that if a person pays for a Sefer Torah, he doesn't show Mesiris Nefesh as he would when he writes a Sefer Torah, or even if he's Mashgiach over a Sefer who is writing a Sefer Torah for him. So then we assume if in the time of Kabbalah Satara, he would have been Mesiris Nefesh to go into the Midbar to accept the Torah. However, if a person doesn't show Mesiris Nefesh, he just hands over the money to purchase a Sefer Torah, then the minister then could say, if he would have been at the time of Kabbalah Satara, perhaps he would not have exerted the proper Mesiris Nefesh to go out into the Midbar to be Mekabal de Torah. So it's only someone who writes a Sefer Torah, that Ma'al Olov HaKosov, Ke'ilu Kibloi Mehar Sinai. Amar Rav Sheshes, Imigiyah, Filoi Sachas, if he was Magi, even one letter of a Sefer Torah, Ma'alov Ki'ilu Kosvei, then the Torah considers as if he has written the entire Torah, because without him changing that one letter, the Torah is possible. Now that he's Magi, it becomes a Kosher Sefer Torah. It's as if he has completed an entire Sefer Torah. Tana Rabbanan. Oise Adam Yeria Mibash Sholish Dafim Va'ad Bashmoina Dafim. A person should make, we know that the Yerias of the Sefer Torah are stitched together, and the Rashi explains that they shouldn't be stitched too close together or too far apart from one another. The beauty is within three Amudim to eight Amudim, and then the next parchment will be stitched on. Pachas mikan v'yesra kain layasa. Less than this or more than this, he shouldn't do. The Rambam learns that all these halachas are lechatchila, but b'di'eved you would be yaitzeh. V'loyar be'bedafin, he should not, in a place, for example, where there's only room for seven, and he wants to do eight, so he'll make the columns thinner. He shouldn't do that. It looks like then like he's writing a letter. V'loyimat bedafim, and let's say there's a place for eight, and he'll make three columns. That means he'll make very wide columns. So what happens? The columns are so wide that by the time he gets to the end of one column and wants to go back to the beginning, his eyes will wander. He'll lose place. He'll skip lines. Elo, what should be the size? Proportionate to how wide the lines are, but how many letters should he put on one line? Not too short, not too long. It should be l'mishpachay seichem. It should be actually 30 letters. Each word here is 10 letters. Why didn't the Gemara just say 30 letters? The Gemara wanted to say, A, it should be three words, which has two spaces in between the three letters, and also that it should include six letters that are not so thick. There's a vav and a yud in each of these three words, so it's comprised of wide letters, but also six thinner letters of yud and vav, and this is an appropriate size of a column. He should do this gimel pa'amim, these three words. Nizdam nuloy yuria bas teisha dafim. What happens if the yuria he sees is long, wide, that it can incorporate within it nine dafim? Lo yachloy shalosh lekan v'sheish lekan. He shouldn't put three on one and divide it up, cut it in two, three on one, six on the other. Ela arba lekan v'chamish lekan. He should have four in one and five on the other, so it should look more or less symmetrical. Bamed v'amavur. When is this said? B'tchilas ha-sefer, at the beginning of the sefer. Avo b'sefer sefer, but at the end of the sefer. Afilu pasuk echad. Afilu daf echad. Even if he writes on the last column one pasuk or one daf, the Gemara says pasuk echad. The Gemara thought that he's writing on the last amud, right on top, the last line of the Sefer Torah, of La'ene Kol Yisrael. So it looks very strange. You have a whole Amid, and on top, you have one line on top. El'eima Pasuk Echad B'dav Echad. Even though the rest of the Torah he wrote symmetrical, all the letters are the same size, but the last Amid, if he only has one Pasuk left, then we learned before there's a mitzvah that it should go till the bottom of the Amid. So obviously he's going to have to take, I believe it's 12 words that are in the last pasuk, he's going to have to take those 12 words and enlarge them. So here we forget about the symmetrical size of the words, and we make them bigger so that it ends off on the end of the amud, and that's what it means, pasuk echad bidaf echad. Now we're going to speak about the parts of the Sefer Torah, which are the margins. There's a beauty in having symmetrical margins as well. We have to know the shear of each of the spaces where there is no lettering on the parchment. Shear, gilyoy milmata tefach. At the bottom, the margin is a tefach. Milmal on top, gimel etzpois, three etzpois. Bein daf ledaf, between one omen and another, kamali revach, the sheet that takes out the word reichev, kamali revach shtei etzpois, the width of two fingers. Ube chumashim, and in regular chumashim, they also have a beauty to them. Milmata shalosh etzpois, there should be a margin of three etzpois. Milmal shtei etzpois on top, two etzpois. Bein daf ledaf, kamali revach, sheet that takes out the word roichev, kamali revach goidel. Here, there should be not two fingers like by a Sefer Torah, but the width of a thumb. Ubein sheeta l'sheeta, how much space is there between one line and another? And this refers to a Sefer Torah as well. Kamali sheeta, you leave in between each line one empty line. Ubein table to table, what's the space? Kamali ois ktana, like a small letter, the letter yud. Ubein ois l'ois, how much space is there? There, it has to be muk of gvil, it has to have parchment all around, but all you need is kamali chutasar, as long as there's a thin line empty between one letter and another, even the width of a hair, that is kosher. Now, let's say a person wanted to write a certain amount of words on an amud. When he gets to the bottom of the amud, he sees that if he's going to do all these words, he won't have enough of a margin. So he has a choice. Should he write the words regular and then he'll have less of the shear, which we learned that at the bottom the shear is a tefach, or should he make the letter smaller and then he will have the correct amount? So the Gemara says, Al yimad adam asaksav, you shouldn't make it smaller. Loimene revach shalmata, not because of the bottom. Loimene revach shalmala, or to have three etzpois, the correct amount on top. Veloimene revach ben sheet l'shita, or to have the right amount between one line and another. Veloimene revach ben partial partial, or when you have to have a stuma or a psucha, that he will adjust the letters. So here, the Nemuki Yosef speaks out, Avada, you have to say that it's usur for him to make the letters in such a way that you won't have a parsha psucha. You need a psucha. You can't make the psucha full of letters that you don't have a psucha. What the Gemara means is he has to be careful when he's coming up to a parsha psucha that he has to write the previous psukim in such a way that he makes sure that he ends off that there is a psucha there. So he can't make the wording, the letters, smaller, but neither can he take away from the psucha, so he has to just write it in such a way that it guarantees that he winds up with psucha. He has a word of five oisius. He shouldn't write two in the amud and three out in the margin. As we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Beis, he writes three in the Amud, and he can let Shtayim Chutzadaf, two can stick out outside of the Daf. Toises in the top, Tois Shloisha B'Toich Daf brings from the Rabbeinu Tam that this does not apply to the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem has to be completely within the Amud and not sticking out in the margin whatsoever. Nizdam Nolay Teva Bashtei Oishis, what happens if he has a two-lettered word? Then he's not allowed to put it between the dafim, even though we learned before that if you have a five-letter word, as long as the majority of three letters is inside the amud, the other two could be sticking out. However, if there's a separate word of two, that cannot stick out in the middle of the amud. He has to begin the next line. Also, the Mordechai says that if the last two letters of a word form a word, for example, uksaftam, so the last two letters, tafmem, is tam, complete. So if by leaving the two letters into the margin, he will be leaving a word because those last two letters constitute a word on their own, that he's not allowed to do as well. So the only time he can leave two letters out, if it's not Shem Hashem, and it doesn't form its own small two-letter word. And Kavachomer, a completely separate two-letter word, is not allowed to be put in between the margin. Ella, if he has a two-letter word, he has to begin at the next line. Now, Hatoya b'shem. What happens if a person was writing, the sefer was writing, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, he skipped the word Hashem, and he wrote Vaydaber el Moshe Leimor. What does he do now? So, Goyrer esmasha b'ksav, he should erase, let's say, el Moshe, Vitoila esmasha gar. So, in the space that he erased, he scraped away the words el Moshe, and he puts the Shem Hashem there. And then, on top, in the between one line and another, he suspends what he has just erased, the words El Moshe put up in between the lines. The Kaisav is Hashem, Amokam Agrar, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, he puts the Shem Hashem on the area that he just scraped out. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, no, Avtoil is Hashem. If he made such a mistake, he's allowed to be told the shame in between the lines. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, af meichik v'kaisiv. He can even be meichik. How is meichik different than geirer? That geirer, you erase it totally. Meichik means that while the ink is still wet, you smudge it. So it's not such a hitter. But Rav Yitzchak says even such a thing you're allowed to do and put the shame Hashem on the smudged ink that is now on the parchment. You didn't scrape it, and yet you're allowed to put the shame Hashem there. Rav Shimon Shazuri Omer, call Hashem kula toilet. If the whole name of Hashem is put between the lines, that's fine. Miksasai. If part is going to be in the line and part is going to be suspended, ain't toilet, that you're not allowed to do. Rav Shimon Elazar, I remember Shimon Rav Meir, ain't kaisens Hashem. Loy al makam agravel, loy al makam amachak, vein toilet, I say. He says there's no eitzah. You can't put it on scraped, you can't put it on smudge, you can't hang it between the lines. Ketzer, I say. So what do? He has to cut out this entire urea, and he has to put it into Geniza because he forgot the name of Hashem. Itmar. We have learned, Rav Chananel Amar Rav, Halacha Toilenes Hashem. Rav Chananel said in the name of Rav that, like Rav Yossi said, that you could be told the name of Hashem. Rav Baruchana, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Halacha Moichik V'Kaisev. Rabbi Chana, the name of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, says that Allah is like Rabbi Yitzchak, the Tana, who says that you can be Moichik and write the name of Hashem on the place that the smudge, the Mechika, is. Ask the Gemara, why are these Amoroyim saying the Halacha? As if they're the ones who are Mechadish this Halacha. These are Tanoim who said these Halachas. Lay Mamar Allah Kamar, Umar Allah Kamar. Let Rav Chanan, in the name of Rav, say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi, that you can be Toila, and let Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, that you're Moichik V'Kaisiv. So the Gemara answers, Mishum Da'afkilu. There were those who switched around, and what Rabbi Yitzchak is quoted as saying, they said in the name of Rabbi Yaisi. And what Rabbi Yaisi is quoted as saying, they said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. So if these Amaroyim would have just said that Halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, that Halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi, we wouldn't know exactly what they're paskening. So therefore, to make it clear, they said not the name of the Tana, but rather they said which Halacha they are paskening, so there's no confusion. So one said the Halacha is Moichik V'Kaisiv, and the other one said that the Halacha is Toilin Es Hashem. Amar Ravin Bar Chinina, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Chanina, Halacha Rav Shimon Zuzuri. The Halacha is like Rav Shimon Zuzuri, and the Gemara for the next blot and a half is going to take a tour of Shas to find out which Halacha is Rav Chanina saying that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Zuzuri, and on that he adds something. V'lo yoid, ela kol makom sheshena Rav Shimon Zuzuri, Halacha k'maisa. Wherever Rav Shimon Zuzuri was involved in a machloik, is the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Zuzuri. The Gemara asks, ahai, on what was the initial halacha which Rav Chanina paskin like Rav Shimon Shazuri? And on that halacha, he said that not only here am I paskin like him, but the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri all over. Ilema ha, if you're going to say it's our halacha here, of Toilin as Hashem, the Rav Shimon Shizuri Amr Kol Hashem Kula Toilin. Mikchasi Ein Toilin. The whole name of Hashem, you could hang between the lines, but not partial name of Hashem. Vo'itmer Allah, we learned on that. Amr Rav Chanan Amr Rav Alacha Toilin as Hashem. V'Rav Rav Chanan Rav Yitzchak Rav Shmuel Alacha Moichik V'Kaisev. So we learned all these Piske Alacha, Vim Isa, and if on this halacha, Rav Chanina would have paskin. This halacha is like Rav Shimon Shizuri. So it should, who im Isa who nami lema? Why was he not? Why was Rav Chanina not included in the piskei halacha? One said meichik, one said toila, and we should say Rav Chanina passed like Rav Shimon Shizuri that the whole name is toila, not mikzas. He's not mentioned. So it's mashma from that. That this was not the halacha on which Rav Chanina said that this halacha we pass like Rav Shimon Shizuri and not only here but all over. So which halacha is it? Elaha. Rav Shimon Shizuri Aimer, Afilu ben Chamesh Shanim, V'chayrish B'sada, Shchita Zimra Mitara Rasei. What Rav Shimon Shizuri is speaking about is Ben Pekua. You shecht an animal and you find inside the animal a calf and the calf lives. The question is, do you need a shechita on the calf? And the halacha is that the shechita of the mother paters the calf. You don't need a separate shechita on the calf. It was a chelik of its mother, uber yerech imoy. So the shechita of the mother was good, was matar from nevela for the, even if you'll kill the animal, you won't check the calf that was inside the mother, it will be kosher because it became tor from the shechita of the mother. Until what? When? Rav Shimon Shizuri goes to the extreme and says this will help even if it's 5 years old, it's a full-grown animal, it's already plowing the field, and yet, if you won't shecht it, it'll still be mutter to eat because of the shechita of the mother. The Rabbanim disagree, and they say in such a case, you would need a separate shechita for the ben pakua. So is this the halacha which we Rav Chanina says, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shizuri? No. Ha'itmar Allah, we learned on that. Ziri Yom Rav Chanina, halacha Rav Shimon Shizuri. The im Isa, and if you're going to tell me that Amar Ula Amar Rav Chanina halachic Rav Shimon Shizuri, if it's going on that, vim Isa hu nami lema, then it should have said Amar Ula Amar Rav Chanina halachic Rav Shimon Shizuri, and yet he's not included. So it's mashma. This is not the halacha on which that was said. Elaha, a different halacha concerning a get. In the beginning, they used to say, if somebody was being taken out to be killed by the king, he's being taken out with chains. But Amar, as he's being taken out, he says, Kisu get lishti, write a get for my wife. And we're assuming he's writing a get because he doesn't want his wife to fall the yibum. He has a brother. He doesn't have any children. He has a brother. And he doesn't want his wife to fall to his brother to yibum. So he said, here's a get. But he didn't say, give it to my wife. He's missing tenu. The halach is, we say that because of the trauma of going out to be killed, he forgot to say tenu, but he, Anan Sadi, he really meant to say tenu. So you can deliver to get to his wife and she doesn't follow yib. Chazru loimer, then they said not only in this case, but afa mefarish, somebody who's going out for a dangerous voyage at sea, vayoytsu bishar, or is going in a desert with a caravan, and there's danger of the way. And by, if he says, write this get for my wife, and he also says he forgot to say tenu, we say that he really wanted to give the get because he may not come back from the trip. His wife will be in Aguna, and therefore he said, give this to my wife. He meant to say, give it to my wife, even though he didn't say it. Rav Shimon Shizuri, Yomer Afa Mesukin, even a person who is deathly ill, and he says, write this get for my wife. And he didn't say, give it to my wife. Again, we assume that he meant to say, give it to my wife. He wants it to be given to his wife, even though he didn't say it. He didn't say it. He was mavulbal. He was in the trauma of dying, and that's why he forgot to say it. So that, perhaps, is the halacha on which Rav Ula said in the name of Rav Chanina, halacha k'Rav Shimon Shizuri, v'loy oid al kol makom shoshana Rav Shimon Shizuri, halacha maisa, or inami, a different halacha, ha, trumas maisa shal d'mai, shechazru l'mekayma. So we have to give a short hakdama, that in the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, following Shimon HaTzadik, they made a survey throughout Kol Yisrael, and they discovered that the Amoratzim were giving truma, because truma they were taking off truma from their tefuah because that is a chiv misa. However, they were negligent in taking off maiseris. Roiv amaratzim used to give maiser, but amiyah didn't. And therefore, the chachamim were misakin. Now, if you buy tefuah from an amoritz, that you should give maiser. So what happens if someone bought tefuah from an amoritz and he was going to take off maiser before Shabbos and he forgot? And now it's Shabbos. This is all he has to eat. So the halacha is, he can go to the Amoritz, ask him on Shabbos, did you take off Maiseris and Trumas Maiseris, did you take it off? And if the Amoritz says, yes, I did, we believe him, and the Jew is allowed to eat that on Shabbos. The Jew himself cannot take the Trumas Maiseris on Shabbos, because he would be misakin his grain, his food on Shabbos, which would be an isser. So therefore, he's either because Einik Shabbos, he has nothing to eat, we rely on the Amoritz in this case, or because even Amoritz is not going to lie on Shabbos. So he said he took it, we say that we believe him, that he's from the majority of Amoratzim who did take off Maiseris properly. Now, Rav Shimon Shazuri says another halacha, that even in the weekday sometimes we would trust the Amoritz. Inam yaha, trumas meister shel demai shechazel mekayma. By accident, the trumas meister that I took out fell back into the container which has the tefuah. Rav Shimon Shazuri Aymer, af b'choyl, even in the weekday, not only on Shabbos, shoyla, you can eat, ask the Amoritz, v'oichla yalpiv, and you can eat based on him telling you, yes, I took the Trumas Meiser. Because if the Amoritz took it, if I believe that he took it, then even though the Jew himself took the Trumas Meiser, but since it was already taken, and we accept that it was already taken, then you can't give Trumas Meiser twice. So then the second Trumas Meiser that the Jew gave, which fell in, will not be considered Trumas Meiser. So there is no Trumas Meiser that's mixed in. Otherwise, if we would say there's Trumas Meiser mixed in, and there's no 100 to be mevatelet, he would have to give it to the Kohen. He's the only one who could eat it at a reduced Trumas Meiser is what a Levi has to give. 1/10 of the Meiser he has to give as Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. So the Kohen would buy it at a very cheap price. It would be a hefset to the Yisrael. He'd have to sell his whole container of Tefuah to the Kohen. And therefore, the Chachamim were misakin that in this case, even here, in the weekday, we would believe that the Amoritz gave it already, and therefore there's no problem with the Yid now eating this container, because we will assume there is no Trumas Meiser mixed into it, because originally Trumas Meiser was already taken off. Vo'itmar Allah, we learned, so if you were going to say these two halachas, the halacha of the get and the halacha of Trumas Meiser, these are the halachas on which the halachas like Rav Shimon Shazuri. Vo'itmar Allah am Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rav Shimon Shazuri, b'misukin u'b'trumas meiser shaldmai. That Rabbi Yochanan said that the halachas like Rav Shimon Shazuri in these two cases, v'misa, and if you're going to tell me that Ula in the name of Rav Chanina said that these were the halachas that are like Rav Shimon Shazuri, who v'misa, who nami lema, then why isn't he included together with Rabbi Yochanan, that he also said that these are the halachas that are like Rav Shimon Shazuri? Obviously, on these halachas, he did not say that the halachas are like Rav Shimon Shazuri. El Aha, in this case, Rabbi Yosef and Kippur Aymer, Rav Shimon Shazuri, pull up Mitzri, an Egyptian bean. Shazor Lazer, they planted it for seed. It's an edible seed, so it's like kidneys. You can either plant it for seed or to eat it as a vegetable. Here they planted it for seed. The nafkamina is that if it's planted as a vegetable, then there's an old year, Yashan, and a Chadash, a new year. And you can't give from one year, you can't separate Truma from one year on another. When does the new year begin? So if it was done for vegetables, so then it's totally in the Lakita, when you collected it, when you harvested it. And therefore, even if the Hashrasha, even if the roots took place in different years, but if you collect it in the same year, then you could take truma off from one on the other. However, if it was done lazera to eat it as edible seeds like kidneys, legumes, so then it's depending on the hashrasha. Sef Mikchasa, Yishrus B'nai Rosh Hashanah. Part of it became rooted before Rosh Hashanah, Umikchasa Achor Rosh Hashanah, and part of it after Rosh Hashanah. Ein Tarmin Mizal Zeh. You cannot take from the old year on the new year. So what do? And why can't you take it? Lefishein Tarmin Umayisrin, Loimen Achadish Al Yashin, Loimen Ayashin Al Achadish. What you might be taking is Yashin, and now you want to use it for Chadish. Or what you might be taking would be Chadish, and you want to use it for Yashin. So you can't do that. Ketzed Yasa, what should I do? So the answer is, Tzayber Granu L'Taychai. So you pile what was threshed all together, meaning that you mix it up. Everything in the threshing floor is mixed up all together very well, and everything now is dispersed, the old, the new, is equally dispersed all over. And then if you take out some truma, a handful of truma, we say that the same proportion of yashin and chadash that's all over the threshing floor that you have mixed up, that's the same proportion that's going to be in your hand. And therefore, whatever is old will be on the old. Whatever is new in your hand will be on the new. V'nimtza tarim u'maisr min ha'chadish shaboy, ala chadish shaboy, min ha'yashin shaboy, ala yashin shaboy. So now the new will be on the new, and the old will be on the old. So that's the halacha, perhaps, where we say the halacha is like Rishon Jezuri. Ha'itmar Allah, we learned on that. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, halacha Rav Shimon Jezuri. And we have the same question. V'misa, and if this is the halacha upon which Ula said in the name of Chanina, halacha Rav Shimon Jezuri, v'loyoi, not only is this the halacha like Shimon Jezuri, ela kol makom shana Rav Shimon Jezuri, halacha Moisai, is this the halacha? So why wasn't Ula the name of Rabbi Chanina, why wasn't he included here in Amar Rabbi Shmuel and Chmeini, Amar Rabbi Yochanan? That halacha Rabbi Shmuel deserve. V'misa hu nami leima. Why isn't he included? Elamai, this is not the halacha on which he said that this is the halacha Rabbi Shmuel deserve. And in the next daf, the Gemara will go through a tour of Shas, trying to find that one halacha on which it was said by Ula in the name of Chanina, halacha Rabbi Shmuel deserve, until the Gemara finds that one halacha.